Priest ain't much of a town unless you're in trade or banking or some other shady pursuit. Napoleon's spymaster, Fouché, is buried there, and Richard the Lionheart did time in jail, but the only other excitements are the Türgestehen Bazaar and the Corso, which is the main drag between the new and old cities, and you can stare at shop windows and drink coffee to bursting point. At evening, I mooched up to the Exchange Plaza and into the Casino Club, where the smart set forgathered, and I thought I might run across some sporting rich widow eager for carnal amusement. But I'd barely begun to survey the fashionable throng when I found myself face to face with the last man I'd have thought to meet, my old chum of rugby and the cider sellers, Speedy Cut, whom I'd barely seen since the night the minor club in St. James's was raided, and we'd fled from the peelers, and I'd found refuge in the carriage, and later the bed, of Lola Montez. Bless her black heart. That had been all of 25 years before, but we knew each other on the instant, and there was great rejoicing, in a wary sort of way, for we'd never been your usual bosom pals, both being leery by nature. So, now I learned that he was in the diplomatic, which didn't surprise me, for he was a born toad-eater with a great gift of genteel sponging and an aversion to work. He was full of woe, because, as you've already gathered, he'd bought this fortune in silver down from Vienna for shipment to Abyssinia, and lo, the appointed escort had fallen by the way, and he was at his wit's end to find another. Couldn't go himself. Diplomatic duty bound him to Austrian soil, etc., etc. It was at that point that it dawned on him that there was good old Harry, knight of the realm, hero of the Crimea and the mutiny, darling of horse guards, and just the chap who could be trusted with a vital mission in his country's service. Why, I was heaven-sent and no mistake, dear old lad that I was. There wasn't a hope of touching him for a loan to see me home. For coming of nabob wealth, he was as mean as Solomon Levi. But by pretending interest, I was able to take a decent dinner off him at the Lacanda Granda before telling him, fairly politely, for one hates to offend, what he could do with his cargo of dollars. He howled a bit, but didn't press me, for he hadn't really expected me to agree, and we parted on fair terms. He to visit the station to see that his minions were taking care of the doubloons, I to find a cheap bed for the night. And I hadn't turned the corner before I saw something that had me skipping for the nearest alleyway with my undigested dinner in sudden turmoil. Not 20 yards away across the street, the Austrian lout who'd slapped my face and hurled his challenge at my feet was conferring with 2 uniformed constables and a bearded villain in a billycock hat with plainclothes peeler written all over him. And there were 2 armed troopers in tow as well. Even as I watched them disperse, the officer mounting the steps to the locanda, which I just left, the fearful truth was dawning. Tegetoff had left this swine behind to track me down, and either hail me to justice as a ravisher of youth. Squareheads have the most primitive views about this, as I discovered in Munich in 47 when Bismarck's bullies interrupted my dalliance with that blubbery slut Baroness Petschmann. Or, more likely, cut me up in a sabre duel. Trieste had suddenly become too hot to hold me. So, now you know why, a couple of hours later, I was in Speedycut's room at the Victoria, clamouring to be allowed to remove his bullion for him, to Abyssinia or Timbuktu or any damn place away from Austrian vengeance. In my funk, I even conjured up the nightmare thought that if Tegetoff got his hands on me and instituted inquiries, he might easily discover I was a Legion deserter and hand me over to the bloody frogs. In which case, I'd end my days as a slave in their penal battalion in the Sahara. A groundless fear, looking back, but I'm a great one for starting at shadows, as you may know. I didn't mention this particular phantasm to Speed, but I did tell him all about Gertrude, because that sort of thing was nuts to him, and he was lost in admiration of my behaviour, both as amorist and fugitive.
"How the blazes you always contrive to slide out of harm's way beats me. Aye, often as not with some charmer languishing after you. Well, 'twas damn lucky for you I was here this time."
"Well, lucky for both of us. So, now that you know all about my guilty past, do you still feel like trusting me with your 500,000? No fears that I might tool along the coast of Monte Carlo and blow the lot at the wheel?" Put like that, with a wink and a grin, he didn't care for it above half. But common sense told him I wasn't going to Levant, and he'd no choice anyway.